In dark forests, beyond the mountains, by black lakes in hidden groves, at your doorstep, in the shadows, something stirs. Strange beings, twisted creatures, lurking at the edge of vision, watching, waiting. This is The Sight.
My name is Carly, and I play Astrid Jaeger. Our pronouns are she, her.
This is Justin Connell. My pronouns are he, him, and I play Elijah Lord.
Hey everyone, this is Veronica. I play Dr. Araceli Cruz, and our pronouns are she, her.
My name is Bridget Connell. I go by she, her, and I play Captain Annika Helvig.
And I am your game master, Michael DeMauro. My pronouns are he, him.
Previously on The Sight.
Sammy, stop where you are!
You fool, you'll kill us all! I'm trying to help!
Sophia runs over and, like, throws herself on her father to protect him. And she starts trying to untie him.
She goes, I love my dad. I'm sorry that he yells, but I don't think he should be shot.
You hear Sophia's voice begin to narrate as the curtains part and you see these puppets. You open the door and you see hanging from the ceiling Sammy.
Wait, is it with my rope?
With your rope.
Oh no!
And you see written in blood on him, Peary the Traitor. We ended last time as you went into Sammy's room and found him hanged.
Yeah.
With Peary the Traitor.
In blood.
Yes, written in blood. And we are going to start this session by having you all take a fear test because you just saw a dang dead body.
Got one.
One.
I got one.
Right there.
You've seen so many. You just saw a literal ghosty apparition. So, an old dead body, that's not going to bother you too much. But yeah, you you see poor old Sammy just swinging there.
Still, it's shocking. Can somebody cut him down?
I immediately go and grab the legs and support the body, and I look over at Astrid, and I'm like, Jaeger, your knife.
She pulls out, like, a pretty wicked-looking hunting knife and will, stand on the stool and cut him down.
I brace the stool for you so you don't fall.
He slumps to the ground.
Right, I got him in my arms.
Like, he seems dead.
I'll put him on the bed.
Can she roll a medicine to see if she can get any information about it? Like,
sure. I want to know if this is a murder or suicide, basically.
Because whose blood is this? Because he's hanged.
Right. Like, if there's any wounds on his body.
You know, you don't see any other signs of struggle, any other bruising or anything like that. So as far as you can tell, he hanged himself. There are no wounds on his body.
Oh, God.
There's no cuts for the blood to have come from, so it is a mystery.
I was thinking about this, and she'll say to the group, Jaeger, me and you went to the conservatory. Is it the conservatory?
Conservatory, yes.
Conservatory. And then we came back, and we did not pass him. And we saw that his footsteps came back, so he must have come back during the puppet show. I want to know if Sophia's okay. Or the people downstairs, if it's one of the people's downstairs blood.
Okay, so you're with Sophia, so...
Oh,
Sophia came into
her
room?
No, like, she was up... You were up with her in the attic the whole time.
We were up with her.
And I did check everyone in that room, because that's what I did after the puppet show.
Right.
Right, you went running out and you checked the people. Yep.
Yeah. I don't think it was anyone downstairs. I had checked them over. They seemed to be okay.
Ghost blood.
And you said Sophia is with us, right?
No, she ran off to her room and she's...
Okay, we should go check. First off, somebody close the door, because we don't need her seeing this right now. And somebody else, like, maybe we should go check on Sophia.
Not it.
I don't think I'm a good choice. I'll go bar the doors downstairs, she says and goes.
Well, Doctor, I mean, in case she needs some sort of medical care, I'll do it.
I'll go with the doctor.
I'm gonna go essentially close, make sure no one can come in and out of the building.
Okay.
Okay, so you go downstairs and do that. What is Elijah doing?
Elijah is taking out, he's gonna stay in the room with Sammy, and he's gonna run automatic writing. To just basically pull out like whatever paper he's got, a pen, and he's gonna run automatic writing, which is channeling spirits with the inspiration to gain clues. So I'm gonna just basically start writing and letting my imagination kind of put the pieces together and wondering if I get any clues on what happened to Sammy. What would compel him to do this, or and whose blood is this? And if what's the connection of Perry the traitor?
You actually specifically channel Sammy.
Oof.
Okay.
And...
Okay. I think I'm still in the room because I was going to put a cloth over his body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Okay. So I channel Sammy. For this, for automatic writing, do I ask questions and you give clues, or...?
You're basically just going to be whatever your hand scrawls down, right?
Right.
On paper. Because you're sort of just free-flowing it kind of thing. Scrawled on the paper, you see essentially like, I must pay for my sins. What I've done is wrong. We will all pay. Katya, Hilma, Albert, we all need to pay.
Do I get a second clue, and or do I ask a second question?
I will say that, like, it starts to get confused. The writing starts to get confused. And it says something about my grandson, Sammy. And then it says something about my daughter, Sophia. And it seems like he had some sort of episode before death where he thought that he was Piri.
Hmm.
I look at the words that are written down, they're scrawled, and then I look at the captain and I was like, I think there's more to the family than history lets on.
How so?
I don't think Sammy did this to himself, but his grandfather, Piri, did this.
So he's possessed by Piri?
It's very much possible.
Well, there were other people.
I read back that I must pay for my sins. Katya, Yamar.
Katya, Hilma, and Albert are the other names that were.
Albert, we heard during the puppet show. Katya and Hilma is very new.
Albert lived a long time ago, and Piri lived a long time ago, and this is a descendant of Piri. I'm wondering, do you think that the people downstairs are descendants of these other people?
Oh, I blessed hope not. It's, well, one thing's for sure, we'll probably need to go through some family records when we get back. But if it's this bad, if this kind of possession is this bad, we need to keep Sophia in a very, very secure spot. So I tell you, I take the paper and I fold it into my vest and tuck it away.
Speaking of Sophia, let's swap over to Araceli and see.
Okay, yeah, so I'm going to open the door, and is she lying down?
She's
instructed her
lying down in bed and just sort of sobbing.
There.
A bedside manner.
Okay, I'm not great at being nice.
You're better than me.
There. How are you feeling? Tell me. How's your stomach and your heart? Are you getting good breaths?
No, not really.
I have just the thing. I'm gonna just open my bag and get some toothache drops and give her just a little drop of cocaine. and so that she can just mellow out.
Laudanum.
Of course, in the other room, mellow. Saying like, "Oh, we need to like, make sure she's okay."
Oh.
The doctor's giving her cocaine.
Oh my god.
It's just a little drop.
We are really bad at this.
I was just looking up what doctors did. It's a lot of heroin.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Oh, great. It's a lot. It's gonna be a real fun
laudanum
game. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She starts rubbing her gums and gets really excited about stuff. No. Yeah, you get her good and calm. She's
she starts pacing the room, punching the air.
He's laser focused.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's chill. She's safe. She's confused. That's about it.
Well, it's a very confusing time. And
yeah.
Why don't you? Do you want to just stick by me? I don't want to. Should I tell her that her father's? I won't say that out loud. Okay. Well, you seem fine to me, so that's good. I'm glad to see that nothing terrible has happened. And I'll walk out the door.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Oh, no. I mean, we aren't best buddies with this chick. Veronica, you have like a cartoon animation face.
I'm very logical. I have much knowledge. It's a high intelligence, low wisdom.
Yes.
But I've got a dog.
It's true. You just put the dog on her lap.
Oh, yeah.
I should have just given her a dog instead of cocaine. Oh, boy.
Downstairs, as I'm, like, shoring up everything, I want to put one of my symbols up on the front door for don't enter.
Okay. Let's say you all converge again at the top of the stairs. You're on the second floor here of the Witch Cat Inn. There's a number of bedrooms. You just came out of Sammy's room. Sophia's is basically across the way, diagonally. There are four rooms that are rented out. And then there's also Nora's old locked room, which I believe you may have heard about back in the first session we did.
So Sophia's gonna be fine. Don't worry about her. She's great. I think we should probably look into her mom's room.
When Sophia pulled me aside, you know, she told me about who she was as a performer. She said that she did keep notes, something about her past life.
I think she saw the ghost, right? She saw the ghost and kept notes on the ghost, like she saw the haunting or something.
I think she did mention having thought that she saw some sort of spectral being.
Okay.
We should definitely investigate Nora's room. However, we need to keep Sophia on close watch. We don't need what happened to Sammy to happen to her.
Can Duke stay with Sophia, or is...
Duke was supposed to stay with Sammy? I'm just saying.
Or is Duke going to...
Duke and I still have some connecting to do, it's probably best that Duke stay with me. And as I said, Sophia's going to be fine.
Don't worry.
She's not going anywhere.
Are the candles still blue, or are they like waning from their bluish color?
They haven't changed a whole lot since they sort of tapered off a bit.
Did we lock the dad's room's door?
You remember seeing a ring of keys on Sammy's belt.
Yes.
I go take them, and I'm going to lock his door. I'm not going to lock her door, because I don't want her freaking out any more than she already has. And she's on cocaine, even though she... So I'm going to lock Sammy's door.
Okay, it's locked.
And then we go to Nora's room, and I hopefully unlock her door.
Okay, so you are going into Nora's room.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm excited about this.
There's a puppet show.
There are probably stage directions in just beyond this door.
So this is the first door you've actually encountered that is locked. And but, you know, you're able to find the key easy enough. You open the door, and it's pretty dusty inside. It looks like no one goes in here ever. The room contains a bed, a desk, a closet with clothes, a bookcase, a large number of paintings. Yeah, everything seems to be covered in dust. And Annika, you feel sort of a tingling sensation.
Cool.
In your body. I'm gonna need you to roll observation.
Zero.
Oh, Michael is grabbing a lot of dice in his hands. Oh no!
Oh god, no, please don't kill me.
That was all but one.
So we're all gonna roll initiative.
What?
Oh, oh my god.
Oh no, Bridget's face. She is horrified.
I love it.
Oh my god, you guys. Do I say anything before it starts, or?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I turn to the doctor, and I say, "You fool, did you think I was so naive to never find out?" And I pull my gun. Gun.
You already did.
And I point it straight at her, and I'm just like, I'm amped up, just glaring. She's just glaring, pure rage.
That's so. She pulls her gun. It's clear she is about to attack Araceli. And we enter a combat. And up first is Astrid.
Oh! I want to wrestle the gun out of her hand. I honestly think I would, like, lunge for her hand to grab her wrist and, like, push with the palm of my hand, trying to push the gun out of her hand. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the good thing is that no one gets hurt in this little exchange
right
here.
That's true.
You lunge for her gun, and she's clearly very skilled at close combat, and she's able to push you away.
I'm going to say, what are you doing?
I look at Astrid with just wide eyes, not terrified, but just like I found out of the secret. And I pull my officer's pistol back, and I say, you tricked me away from the conservatory. You knew he'd be possessed. You all are in on this. And I go to pistol whip Astrid. I don't want to shoot you. I don't want to shoot. Like, that's, I don't, but I feel like that would be what she would do is.
Let's say just in the struggle, you try to bring the butt of your gun down on her head. It doesn't end, but she's still kind of entangled with you. It doesn't.
I would say she's super live.
Yeah.
And like, agile, so she could definitely like lean back really fast.
Yeah. Okay. So Elijah.
Well, I'm witnessing that the captain is pointing the gun at the doctor and fighting against Astrid. Does she still have the keys in her hand?
She does.
And where is she at in position? Is she positioned inside the room?
I think you're all, I mean, you've all walked into the room. You've all looked around.
Oh, so. We're all in the room. Dang it. I'm going to try to pull the doctor away from harm's way because she was pointing the gun at the doctor first.
Okay. If you want to grab Araceli and have both of you duck behind the desk or whatever, duck into cover, that's totally legit.
I hate that this is happening.
Okay. Yeah, for now.
Would Araceli go along with that?
Can we assume that our action kind of happens simultaneously? Because what I want to do is ask a question.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to just like look directly into the captain's eyes, like meet her eye line and say, Captain, put down your weapon.
She doesn't seem to notice.
Great. Duke, the shunt face. And I have the dog attack in close combat.
Oh boy.
Dang.
Oh no, I do not want to kill this dog.
So you are successful, and Annika, you take a condition.
Let's just say Duke got a real good bite in, and I'm wounded.
Okay, you are now wounded.
Now I will hop behind that table with Elijah.
Okay, so so now we go back to the top of the round. Do an observation roll.
I got one and a lot of fives.
You seem to notice the tension sort of leave her body, and she doesn't seem to be struggling and fighting like she was before.
Captain, are you okay?
I'm sorry.
I don't know what came over me.
Get out! Out! Get out of this room!
I stumble back and I like limp out the door. I get out of the room. And I honestly, like, I think she would just go stand outside the door, like, to get a breath of fresh air. Like, out of the inn. Like, she would just look out at the sky and maybe, like, where we met the detective, she would just stand out on the porch and just, like, take a breather.
Okay. She is... seems to have come to her senses and heads outside.
Everyone should get out of this room.
I'm gonna do some kind of observation to see anything that sticks out noteworthy of this room. I know there's books, there's paintings.
Mm-hmm.
I want to run down to the kitchen and fill my pockets full of salt.
Okay.
She goes from very superstitious.
Okay, one success.
There is literally, they call it a library. There is several occult books on the shelf, and there's also a journal.
I snag the journal.
Okay. And are you just leaving the room, or?
I'm going to leave the room, yeah. I grab the journal and leave the room.
Okay. Things seem to have settled down. The blue lights flicker down a little bit. It doesn't seem like, it seems to be sort of returning to that sort of base level of spookiness.
Astrid comes flying back up the stairs and like throws a handful of salt full of salt on either of them.
I just image in my head of like you running up the stairs, me or Elijah leaving the room, and like Elijah getting a face full of salt, like like what?
Get your glasses on.
Yeah.
And then she says, "Who are you?"
Elijah goes, "I'm me. Like, what are you doing?"
Oh, all right. You seem to be fine. Who are you? She says to the dog.
So I didn't leave the room.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're still in the room.
I'm still in the room. Does anything change when everyone else leaves?
In what way?
Like, is there a general feeling of spookiness that is amplified when I'm by myself in this dark room?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Seems pretty normal.
I grab the occult books and hop on out.
Yeah, how many books were there, like, occult books?
I'd say 6 or 7.
Okay.
You grab them and, you head out.
I'm gonna bar that room.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get a table and let's just talk about what happened while I stitch up our good friend the captain.
Is everyone in this room still okay?
Still asleep?
Yeah, everyone's just unconscious.
I think we should get the captain's recollection of the events that transpired.
So, like, she's outside, but she hears them, like, come into the dining room, and she kind of, like, straightens herself up and, like, returns to the dining room. She's like, "My apologies. Something came over me.
God,
it wasn't myself.
It was Nora, wasn't it?
It was no one. It was myself. It was just a feeling. It wasn't any person. It was a feeling of extreme paranoia and that you all had wronged me somehow. I can't explain it other than that."
Have you guys put the books down on the table?
Yeah, I want to spread out and make a study space.
When you put them down, I'm going to put a little pinch of salt on each of them before they get opened.
Why are you wasting salt?
That's not a waste.
That's some good salt.
You purify things with salt.
Elijah, you're covered in salt.
Well, I needed to make sure. I would feel safer if everyone was in the same room. I'm going to get Sophia.
So you're gonna leave the room? Should we all go, or should we? Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and start reading.
Like, yeah, me too.
At least penciling through the journal.
Yeah, groups of two. I can go with.
Are you sure?
I can. I'm absolutely fine.
So. All right, I'm gonna go to Sophia's room.
Okay.
Please make sure she's alive.
She's fine.
You head up to Sophia's room.
She is totally just snoring now.
Okay.
She's just laying in bed snoring.
Nonetheless, I would feel better if we were all in the same room, so I'm going to, like I did for my younger siblings, carefully pick her up and get her on my back so I can piggyback her downstairs and lay her down there.
Jaeger, and I ask Jaeger just one-on-one up, can I say that I have some of the rope back, or is that gross?
You've got your rope. You've broke. You can use rope.
Okay, cool. Should we...
should we make sure that she doesn't have her hands free, or do you think she'll be fine just with us?
I like shift her on my back a little bit more with more force than I would normally. Does she wake up or stir at all? Oh, I don't think she's going to wake up. And I like jostle her a bunch,
okay.
Pinch her cheek, like, oh no, she's out.
Okay.
Are you okay?
We'll keep it clean. I'm fine. We'll keep a keen eye on her.
Well, I think she'll be fine. I'm more worried about you.
I'm fine. And she gives a slight smile and she heads downstairs.
Don't push anymore. Gotcha. So I piggyback Sophia downstairs and I make her a little nest to stay in near us.
Trying not to like absolutely freak out about what just happened to her. Just like,
so yeah,
okay.
She's just snoring away. I'm gonna have the other folks make learning tests, please.
Oh, learning. Okay.
So for Nora's journal, there's a bunch of stuff for me to read. January 15th, I saw it again last night as I was on my way to empty the Widower Rutgers chamber pot. The candle in my hand went out, and standing still in a dark corridor on the second floor, I could hear the floorboards move. Someone was walking towards me. I whispered my husband's name, and an unknown voice responded with a word I couldn't understand. The hairs on my arms stood up, and the blood throbbed in my veins. Finally, I dropped the pot and ran downstairs. My footsteps woke several of the guests. I had to spend more than an hour on my knees scrubbing the stench of Rutgers excrement off the floorboards. Sammy was angry. I didn't tell him I'd seen a ghost. It would have added fuel to the fire. January 17th. Do I really have to myself to blame? I know what I did to Sammy, but that was almost 20 years ago. He gets so different when he's angry, and I go mute with fear whilst he demands answers. All I did was suggest that the sudden falling apart of the inn might have occult causes. I definitely shouldn't have mentioned the ghost. Now I won't be able to show myself to the guests for a week. I fear for Sophia. She's so much like me, and I'd like to tell her everything, but I'm afraid of what Sammy would say. He wants to eradicate all things artistic and sublime from his daughter's body, that which came from me. January 31st. I mentioned my nightmares to Sophia, and it turned out she's been having the same dreams. A man being killed, the murderer sneaking up behind him and cutting his throat with a knife. The body is buried in unconsecrated ground, and suddenly, it is my body in the grave. I've been buried alive and I can't get out. All I want is revenge, peace, and death. I wake with a scream. February 7th. The fourth time I saw him, I understood what he was whispering. It's not a word, but a name. Peary. After spending several days pondering the matter, to Sammy's great annoyance, I remembered where I heard the name. Sammy's grandfather, who used to run this inn, was named Peary. There are lots of old letters in the attic. Among them I found a stack of messages, all signed with Peary's name, written in code and addressed to someone in Uppsala. The code was easily deciphered, and now I've shut myself away in my room all morning, reading Peary's love letters. Sammy is furious that I've neglected my duties. He is banging the kitchen walls and throwing saucepans against the floor. I know now who the dead man is. Peary writes of his guilt and feelings of remorse over a murder he committed. He killed a man named Oscar Hjort by slitting his throat. This happened during a meeting with three people from Uppsala. One of them was named Albert. Oscar was unwilling to cooperate, but what he was meant to do I'm unsure of. They buried his body somewhere in our garden. Peary says that instead of having a priest consecrate the ground, they desecrated his body with magic. He fears that he has damned the inn and condemned himself to hell. March 31st. Sophia has been quiet and withdrawn for some time now. I sat down to talk with her. She tells me that she dreams of setting up a theater. She wants to put on shows here at the Witch Cat. I think it's a brilliant idea. I have sent an invitation to the Troll Dreams Theater Troupe, mostly to attract customers, but also to inspire Sophia. They'll pass through here in early April. This time I won't let Sammy get away. Sammy saw the letter from the theater director, and as I'm writing
this is 19 days later.
And as I'm writing this, I have hidden the stable like a naughty child. If I stay here, he'll kill me. Tonight I'm packing my things, and I'm taking Peary's letters with me. I'll show them to Sophia when I come for her. Perhaps we will return to the Witch Cat one day, when Sammy has died or come to his senses. Then we can go looking for ghosts together. That is the end of the journal. But you also, looking through the books, you figure out that this must be the work of a revenant, a haunted spirit filled with hate against those who have wronged it in life. The revenant is often invisible, but is known to take the shape of a monstrous being with sharp teeth and claws. It can draw the very life out of a person with its ghostly embrace, and it can also control a person's soul using magic. And essentially, to banish it, you have to bury its remains in consecrated ground.
That's a lot. I assume that you're reading this out loud to us all, kind of thing.
I would at least be reading the occult stuff to you guys.
After reading that out loud, I've kind of racked my brain thinking of where Piri killed Oscar Fjord. Where will we find his body?
There's a root cellar out in the back, and there's a lot of talk about the conservatory.
Yeah, the conservatory is sus.
Would we know what the difference, like, in that day and age, would we know the difference of, like, what a consecrated burial would be and what an unconsecrated? Because I'm sure, like, unconsecrated is, like effing it up with magic or whatever.
Unconsecrated is essentially not
blessed by a priest.
Not burying it in a graveyard or not burying it in a place that's blessed by a priest.
It's literally like an unmarked grave.
It literally needs to be like a marked grave.
Yep.
Do we know if, just from experience and stuff, if these kind of things are more active at night than they are during the day?
Typically, pretty much everything is more active at night than during the day.
Right. If this thing is invisible and can possess people and is active at night, I would guess that it might be better if we came back during daylight hours. Can we not go stay at a church? I don't know how churches work, but could we not go?
The closest church is like 2 kilometers away.
She's like, oh yeah, that's not far at all.
You definitely know there's a church that you...
It's like storming, yeah.
It is.
It's storming, it's raining.
And?
So do you think the body's here?
Does the journal
The journal
say?
Pretty much says it's buried here.
I think that, yeah, the body is definitely
Let's
here.
Let's go find the body.
Morbid as it sounds, at least put, like, a grave marker. And acknowledge that there's a body there.
And we can't just stick something in the ground and call it consecrated. He was torn to pieces.
True.
Can I look on the priest's being to see what he has on him?
That, like, you have to be a priest. You can't just, like, pour stuff in the water.
Astrid has no idea.
Yeah.
So I would like to do it.
Yeah, you can, okay. By all means.
She starts pulling things off the priest.
He probably has a little...
Like,
a little
I've heard
vial
that
of holy water.
That's,
he's got a cross.
That's what she's looking for. That stuff. And she brings them back. Like, Willie's help?
Yes.
I feel like now you're bringing the bad juju to us now.
Why?
Should not rob a priest of maybe this holy water.
I'm not robbing him.
If he
I'm
were,
sure
if
he
were awake.
Awake.
If he were awake, he would grant it to us. I'm almost certain. If he knew that he could be possessed by this Oscar, the Hortz, I'm sure he would grant us these. We need it more than he does right now. We'll get him another cross.
Like, it doesn't do anything if we have it.
So we gotta wake him
up.
This
isn't the power. The power is from having the fax machine to tell God that you need help. And
dee-doo-dee. Heavy.
I mean, I guess we could try it, but can I ask? I prayed a lot with Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to just, like, search my memory to see if I remember him saying, like, oh yes, under the apple tree, there was a foot once or something.
He wouldn't have known. I mean, he hasn't seen anything like that.
Okay. Ugh.
So, I mean, they said somewhere in the garden. There's the conservatory, there's the root cellar, there's also the stable.
Cellar. Let's just
cellar,
go to cellar,
of course.
What could go wrong?
Okay.
Are you bringing the holy water and the implement?
No, I don't know anything about this, she says, and holds the things up. If you don't think they'll work, I'll just leave them here.
It can't hurt to try.
She picks them back up again.
Yes, bring them whipped.
But also, I would like to know if there's a couple things in the kitchen that I could make something.
Sure, like what?
I want, like,
trail mix.
Salt and herbs, strong smelling herbs, mm-hmm. and oil. And if I grind them all together, mm-hmm. and this is an old family recipe, it makes a smelling salt.
Okay.
Oh.
Is there any way I can try using something like that to try to jolt the priest into...
Sure. You can do that. You will need a 3 successes on a medicine check.
I look at the doctor. I know how to do this. Kind of. I've seen my mother make these. Do you think you could help me? Or can I help you?
Of course
you?
We could help you. Yeah, of course.
I'm going to assist the doctor in making some smelling salts.
Okay.
While they're making this, I just do want to mention, we should probably wake the priest up after we find the body and deal with what all that's going to be, and not like have a tag-along priest like witnessing somebody being possessed again or something.
I mean, that's what they're there.
He may have protections that we don't know about.
So okay, which is the worst?
Is going to be like a player character priest that has like actual things that could benefit us? Or is he just going to be like, derp?
I'm trying to figure out which is the worst circumstance.
We like
something that comes out and possesses things without the priest, or have the priest come along and witness the horror along with
priest.
Us, and the priest becomes...
I can't tell. I can't say. I don't know.
So,
also, what's this priest doing at the Witch Cat Inn in the middle of the night?
It's the only inn.
Priests need R&R
and it's literally too. Like the only guy we didn't talk to.
And y'all, we didn't fuck up. Okay, yeah. So the smelling salt recipe from your mom's mom.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
not. I rolled no success out of me.
Oh shit!
All right. Okay. So it doesn't work. It
smells like pesto.
It smells delicious.
Worth a try.
What are y'all doing?
Do we need to find a shovel? If it's something that's buried?
Sure there'll be something in the conservatory. If they're gardening over there, there ought to be.
You remember seeing a shovel in the...
Yes.
I remember seeing a shovel in the conservatory.
I didn't know if like the root cellar was like where it's at location-wise.
I think it's under the conservatory?
No, it's like in conservatories
in
one corner and the root cellars in the other corner.
Oh, okay.
So you grab the shovel. Conservatory seems like it was when you left it. And then you head over to the root cellar.
I shall wield the shovel.
Feeling more and more confident every time you get another piece of
another thing to kill everyone with.
I actually want to check the stable. I want to see if there's something in there. Like, if we find a body and we need to get it to a church,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure we can do it quickly.
Okay.
So can I see if there's a horse?
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, you go into the stable. There are a pair of horses and...
attached to a cart?
A little cart.
Can I make sure that is all set up?
Sure.
Okay.
Are you going with them into the root cellar, though, or are you...
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to do this first, because right. I want to
We'll probably pause and wait for her, and then we'll all go to the
Okay,
room,
you so. Guys get it all set up, and then you head to the root cellar. You open the door, and you see a huge dark cave that is vastly bigger than the root cellar. On the walls are shelves of food crawling with maggots, bugs, and rats. There's a strong wind coming towards you from nowhere, apparently, and you hear... a similar voice to the one you heard during the puppet show, whispering, "Albert, my love, my right to decline.
Oh my god, we're in Ghost Cave.
You are everything to me. You let Peary kill me and I... God, Ilma,
what a
I have seen things none of you could. Danced in Paris. My name... You see a man standing before you in the cave. He is a young man with expensive clothes and eyes glittering with love. He looks to the side at someone who cannot be seen, then his neck bursts open as if cut by a knife, gushing blood. He falls to the ground. He tries to scream but only lets out a gurgling sound. His body decays in an instant and is covered with maggots. Please, everyone, make a fear test.
Three people.
I got two.
I got one. You're on the roll of another dice because I dropped
I got none.
Oh no!
You're terrified. You have to pick if you're gonna flee, freeze, faint, or attack.
Flee!
Okay, you're gonna flee. So as you're running out of the root cellar, you see five people who were previously sleeping, sort of stumbling, dance-like almost, towards the root cellar as if they were on strings like a marionette.
Oh my god! Ew! Ew! So which way are you gonna flee, girl?
and then I'm gonna swerve away from that.
What
that
is
seems
that?
Terrible.
All y'all got going over on over here.
What are the folks in the root cellar gonna do?
I'm gonna make a move to grab the doctor and stop her from fleeing.
Okay.
So I don't want her to go on her own and like get hurt. You know, I want to keep her near us.
So well, that clearly fails because she's already outside and seen people stumbling towards.
Oh, she's outside? Yeah. Oh, no. Can I run after her?
Yeah. So I guess, what are the other... So those two head out the door. What are the other two people doing?
I would like to roll an investigation to see if I see any skeletal remains.
He's standing over an area which seems to be one of the only areas where, like, loose dirt would be. Okay. So you think he's maybe standing over the most obvious place to dig. And he goes,
Albert, Ilma, I see you've returned after you turned on me.
I freaking knew it.
Okay, so Astrid is going to take an incredibly deep breath, and then she's going to put her hands up to her eyes and start rubbing them, like, not obviously, but she wants to try to make her eyes red.
Okay.
And she's going to say, I'm so sorry. and you're right. What we did was wrong. We were wrong. And please allow us to make it right. I've been tormented ever since that night. Please, I beg you. I will make this right. And then I will join the church. I will spend the rest of my days repenting.
He looks at you and goes,
that shovel. You mean to dig up my remains and bury me in the proper way?
Yes, we've already prepared the cart to take you to the church.
Show me this cart!
Can I lead him to the cart?
You exit the root cellar and the five people who were previously sleeping are standing there, sort of swaying ominously.
That is so creepy cool.
But they don't move to attack you.
Yeah.
Did this remnant, like, call me?
He called Albert? You Albert, yeah.
Okay. I try to console.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's clear that they had history, so.
He turns to you and goes,
who are you? You're not Albert. Who are you people?
We're the ones that come to give you peace. Even though we're not responsible, you deserve it.
All of the people who were sort of menacingly standing there all slowly sink to the ground and seem to just go back to sleep.
You would do this for me?
Yes. Yes, we would definitely do this. We would do this for you.
No one deserves the fate that you have.
We're members of the society as you were, and we don't let things like this stand.
He gives you a sort of a quick nod, and then he starts going transparent so that you can't really see him anymore.
Go back in the root cellar, and...
Yep. Root cellar seems a lot more normal now.
Cool.
Thank God.
You start digging, and sure enough, you find skeletal remains.
Is there a...
I'll get a tablecloth.
That's what I was going to say.
I was just going to say, I go find the nicest linens that they have.
Right. I mean, I could see in the root cellar if there's a potato sack, but I feel like that would be very wrong.
She's like calling out every body part as she like hits it with her shovel and finds it. She's like, skull, pelvis,
patella,
scapula, I think.
Like, you're quite good at this.
Elijah's like, please stop naming body parts out loud.
So you're able to dig up the remains, and you have add to your inventory one set of revenant remains.
Ooh.
Not really.
Okay.
Cool.
Don't have to actually do that. That was a joke.
Revenant remains.
So what are you doing?
So
I'm in the cart. Mount the front of the cart.
Okay, so you're taking him to the church.
I'm just going to hop on the back of this truck, just holding this little satchel of a bag of bones and keeping him nice and white. Duke.
I'll hop on too and sit with Duke.
I sharply whistle, and a second later, my falcon comes and lands on the cart.
Okay. Who's driving the
falcon happen?
It does. It is...
Fogle?
Fugle.
Fugle.
Okay, so the trip is, you know, it's not that far. You make it to the church. There is, in fact, a cemetery. Hell, there's even a plot that's already been dug out just waiting for you.
I was going to ask.
This is so far out of Astrid's death. She's just looking at Araceli, essentially. Like,
Ed, this all seems fine. Stick him in the hole. It's already here. Someone will, that probably wasn't for him, will have them dig another one for the next person that's coming in. It will be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
As you're burying Oscar, you see his spirit watching you gratefully from a distance. And as you finish up, he vanishes. He is now at peace.
I take a piece of my notepad and write down the Society's Creed and find some kind of marker, a stake or something, and pin that note onto the stake and put that at the head of the grave.
Yeah, so you've done it. You head back, the priest, everyone is sort of groggily getting up. They're all very cold from being very wet and outside.
We just love them in the mud.
But, I love it. Yeah, no one seems too worse for wear. And obviously Sophia's going to be very upset when she comes to her senses, but...
Can I walk by the group of people, like, waking up? And she's going to, like, look down at them. She's going, what the hell are y'all doing out here? And then she's just going to keep walking and then just, like, laugh to herself.
They are all very confused.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Mr. Clint, the person that summoned us here.
Okay.
Oh, is he one of the guys outside?
I didn't write him down, but he was one of them.
Okay. Well, Mr. Clint, it looks like we've solved your mystery for you.
It seems you have. Thank you for aiding me in this, and clearly I was not much help. Very embarrassed.
Oh, no, Mr. Clinton, you shouldn't be embarrassed. Of course, you called the right people to come and help you solve the problem and save the day. So, you did the right thing by calling us. In the future, if you need to call us again, that's the money to put in.
I certainly will. I'll let you know next time I find another spooky ghost.
You all can head back to Uppsala, and I can give you experience points.
Yay!
Wait, did anybody talk to Sophia before we left?
I left her a chipper note.
Yeah, she's gonna be going through some stuff, but...
Yeah, I think we're gonna direct the priest to her.
But, yeah, like...
Witch Cat Inn's clearly gonna be under new management.
Sven's a nice guy. He'll help her out. We've got the priest, the cook. There's also the cook, which I very... I don't even know if I ever mentioned her. But, you know, she's got folks there who can... console her and stuff, and now she's got a brand new inn, which I think there's going to be a lot more theater folks stopping by. So yeah, that inn's been in her family for generations, and she'll get to run it now the way she wants to.
That's going to be a dinner theater when we come back. Yeah, she's so exciting.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Site, a Vason RPG.
We record episodes live on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/geeklyinc. This podcast is made possible by the Geekly Inc. Patreon. Go to patreon.com/geeklyinc to find our video archive and to help support the network. This episode was produced and edited by Michael DeMauro. Special thanks to David Stewart. If you would like to learn more about our cast members, you can find Carly Shields on social media at AnimatedMe with the E's as threes. And she also appears on the podcast Brute Force. Veronica Escamilla Brady can be found at Typical Veronica, and she also appears on the podcast Welcome to St. Paxton. Justin Connell can be found on social at Just Connell, and Bridget Connell can be found at Bridget Connell. Bridget is the artist for Dark Horse's Lady Baltimore, which is available at your local comic shop. Michael DeMauro can be found on social media at Thrifty Nerd, and he appears on several podcasts, including Greetings Adventurers, Dear Internet, and You're a Wizard, Harry. Podcast art created by Bridget Connell. The music played on this episode was the official Vason soundtrack, provided courtesy of Free League Publishing. Find out more about Vason and many other tabletop RPGs at freeleaguepublishing.com. Some of the background music and ambience in this episode were from Sirenscape. Enhance your gaming table at sirenscape.com.